I would like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of John. I would like to read from John chapter 13. John chapter 13. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who spoke this world into existence, the one who will bring it to a close, the one who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who has declared the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand." Lord, we're thankful that we know the sovereign God of heaven and earth, and we also know that you're our Heavenly Father. We thank you for loving us in spite of our sinful condition. We're thankful that thou hast sent thine only begotten Son into the earth, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We thank you, Lord, for the perfect life that Jesus lived and for the great example that we have of how to live. And we pray that you would help us every day of our lives to walk closer to thee and to try to live in a way that will honor and glorify thee. We pray that you would help us by the words of our mouth and by the deeds of our lives to show forth the gratitude that we feel for thy goodness to us. We know, Lord, that every day you load us with benefits and blessings. We can never begin to count all the blessings we have, and we can never thank you enough in all eternity. We can never thank you enough for all that you have done, are doing, and shall do for us. But we do look forward to the eternal heaven when we'll be able to give thee perfect praise. But we're also thankful that while we live here, in spite of our imperfection, we are thankful that in the Spirit that we can worship thee. And so we come tonight asking you to fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we might hear and understand, believe, and obey the Word of God. Help us to rejoice in the truth about our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us now as we study. We pray in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 13 and verse 13, the Word of God says that Jesus says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." This morning we tried to begin studying this particular expression where Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he says, "Ye call me Master and Lord." Jesus is the Master and he is the Lord. Now, usually when I think of the Master, I think of the ruler, and I equate Master and Lord as being the same thing. But as you study the Word of God and you go back and you look, you'll find that the word Master here, as well as many other times in the New Testament, that the word Master is talking about a Master, the Master Teacher, and the Supreme and the Perfect Teacher or Instructor. And so Jesus says here, "You call me the Master Instructor. You call me the Master Teacher." And he says, "You say well, for so I am." And as you look at the life of Jesus Christ and you look at him teaching, you can certainly conclude that he is the Master Teacher. The Word of God says that never man spake like this man. There's never been anyone that could teach like Jesus Christ. He is the Master Teacher. Whenever he began teaching, the Word of God says that he spake with authority, and they had never seen anyone speak with the kind of authority. He taught with authority and not as the scribes and the Pharisees taught. He taught in such a way that even little children could understand what he was saying. And he taught in such a way that no matter how wise or intelligent a person was, no matter how much education they had, they could not understand the truth of what he was saying, because unless he revealed it to them, they could not see what he was teaching. So Jesus is the Master Teacher, and he says, "You call me Master Teacher, and you call me Lord, and you say well, for so I am." I want us tonight to look at that expression, "You call me Lord." No, Lord. In the 100th Psalm, the third verse, The scripture says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the people of God. We are the sheep of His pasture. But know ye that the Lord, He is God." And Jesus Christ says here, "You call me Lord, and you say well, for so I am." You remember when the angels came to the shepherds at the birth of Jesus Christ, you remember that the angels said to the shepherds, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the" what? "Christ the Lord." That was the declaration that was made at His birth. It was the declarations that were made all through His life that He is the Lord. He is the, and the word Lord now, as contrasted with the word Master, the word Lord, instead of being supreme teacher like Master is, the word Lord means supreme authority, the supreme ruler. That's the Lord of heaven and earth. And whatever the Lord does is right and good, even when we don't understand what God is doing. He is still the Lord of heaven and earth. You remember on one occasion, Eli the priest, you remember how Samuel came to Eli the priest, and Samuel told Eli what God was going to do to Eli's sons because of the wickedness of his sons, and Eli had not restrained them. And you remember the response of Eli. Eli said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good." In other words, what did Eli do? Eli bowed down to the will of the Lord. Eli recognized the Lord is going to do what's right and He's going to do what's good. So it is that all of us can say Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And we ought to say that He is Lord. The Word of God says that He is Lord of lords. There are a lot of other little L-O-R-D-S in this world, but Jesus is the capital L-O-R-D. He is the Lord of all the other lords that there are in the earth. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He is the God of gods. Little G-O-D-S, that's an expression in the scriptures, that Jesus is the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings, and He is the God of gods. And as the Lord, we are to obey Him in everything He tells us to do, because He is the supreme authority. And not only are we to obey Him, but we are to call Him our Lord. We are to say that He is our Lord. We are to call upon Him as our Lord. Back up just a moment in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6, the Word of God tells us about a day in the life of Jesus when He did something that the Pharisees felt was wrong. You know, Jesus several times did things on the Sabbath day that the Pharisees would immediately jump on Him. Jesus could even heal a man, and yet the Pharisees would rebuke Him for healing someone on the Sabbath day. Now, why could He do that? Why could He heal someone on the Sabbath day? Well, He had the power to heal because He's the Lord, but He also had the right and authority to do whatever He pleased on the Sabbath day because He's the Lord. In Luke chapter 6, the Word of God tells us about a particular experience where Jesus was attacked because of what He did on the Sabbath day, a different occasion. In Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that He went through the cornfields, and His disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have you not read so much as this? What David did when himself was an hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did eat and drink did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone." In other words, what did Jesus say? He said, "Have you not read how David, when him and his army, when they were starving, and they went into the house of God and they took of the showbread, do you not remember what David did? And God allowed that. And now then Jesus says in verse 5, and he said unto them, that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now does Jesus, as the Lord of the Sabbath, have a right to do whatever he pleases? Yes, he does, because he is the Lord. He is the supreme authority, and everything he does is right. Someone called this morning, Brother Neil called this morning and said the ox was in the ditch. His truck was broken down, and he was trying to get that fixed. It broke down this morning, and he was having a problem. Listen, is it all right occasionally when the ox is in the ditch, is it all right to do something that normally you would not do on the Sabbath day? It is. And Jesus taught that several times, that there are occasions that you would never do something that you're about to do, but you have to do it because, as Jesus says, the ox is in the ditch. Now listen in Acts chapter 2. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. We're trying to look at the fact that Jesus is Lord. And remember now, we're not just trying to look at the fact that he is Lord, but we're trying to look at the responsibility and the privilege that we have to say that he is Lord. And that's what Jesus commended the people in John chapter 13 and verse 13. He commended his disciples when he said, ye call me Master and Lord. You call me the supreme teacher, and you call me the supreme authority, and you say, well, for so I am. In Acts chapter 2, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, come down to verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36, the scripture says in Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Who had made Jesus Lord? God had made him Lord and Christ. Was that frightening to those people, the Jews, who had crucified Christ? Was it frightening when the Spirit of God revealed to them that what Peter was preaching is that God had made the one they had crucified, that God had made him both Lord and Christ? Was that frightening to those people? Indeed it was. At least to some of them it was. And they began to cry out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Why? Because they began to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord and Christ. Is it good for us to declare and say that Jesus is Lord? I want you to see that there are particular blessings that come to the people of God who, by the Spirit of God and by faith, as Jesus is revealed to them as their Lord, it is honoring to God, but there are also great blessings that come to those that confess that he is Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In Romans chapter 10, there's a great deal of teaching in Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 about the lordship of Jesus Christ and about him being not just the Lord, but about Jesus being the Savior and the Redeemer. And remember now that every one of those titles carries a different connotation to it. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, the Word of God says in Romans 10, I'll read 8 and 9. Romans chapter 10 verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the what? The Savior? Is there a difference in that title Lord and the title Savior? Is there a difference in the title Master and the title Lord? But the specific declaration that's given here is that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Brethren, there is a great salvation to the people of God that will do what Jesus says, or what God's Word says here, and that is to confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the supreme authority. You know, we're going to study this week at church camp about the creation of this world. Do you know who spoke this world into existence? Jesus did. Do you know who created the heavens and the earth? God did, but Jesus was there doing everything that was done by the triune God. When God said, "Let us make man in our image," it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God was the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus was there. Jesus is not only the creator, but Jesus is the Lord. He's our Lord. And we are to confess Him as our Lord. Go to one other scripture that specifically is talking about confessing Him as Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And my question to you is, you remember back there in the beginning scripture that we looked at in John chapter 13 and verse 13. In John 13:13, Jesus says, "Ye call me Master and Lord." Were they doing something good and right when they called Him Master and when they called Him Lord? Is it good for us to call Him Master and Lord? Jesus says that it is. He says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well." It's a good thing to declare Him as our Lord and as our Savior and as our King. He is our all in all. He's our elder brother. He is everything. He's all the world to the people of God who understand the truth of God. But we are to confess Him as the Lord Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, listen please to verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me ask you this question before I read this verse of Scripture. Can any human being walking around say these words if they have the ability to talk? Can any human being walking around, not born of the Spirit of God, does every human being have the ability with their mouth just to say these words, that Jesus Christ is Lord? Do they have that ability? I think so. I absolutely think they can. However, that's not what the Word of God is talking about in Romans 10:9 or in 1 Corinthians 12:3. It's talking about the only people who have the ability from their heart to feel and know and see that Jesus is Lord are those who have been born of the Spirit of God, and God gives them the ability and the strength and the grace to confess, "Jesus is my Lord." Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 now in verse 3. He says, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth..." "I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Has anyone ever, by the Spirit of God, ever called Jesus accursed? Have many people called Him accursed? Sure, but no one has ever by the Spirit of God called Him accursed. And then he gives the converse of that. He says, "And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." Does everybody understand that? You can say that He's the Lord, but you cannot say He's the Lord from your heart. You cannot believe and know and understand the depth of the meaning that Jesus is the Lord, except the Spirit of God give you the ability to confess that Jesus is the Lord. We need to understand what a blessing it is that God, anybody here who has ever confessed with their mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you need to understand it was only by the Spirit of God that you were able to confess that Jesus is the Lord. Had God not revealed Himself to you, had God not revealed that Jesus is the Lord, you could not from your heart ever confess that Jesus is the Lord. Now, can a person say that Jesus is Lord and it not mean anything at all? You know, I think it's amazing as you think about the different times that Jesus speaks, really in a derogatory sense or in a condemning sense. There are times that Jesus spoke in a condescending way, a way that is rebuke when He talks about people who call Him Lord and they do not the things which he says. For example, in Luke 6:46, the scripture asks, Jesus asked this question in Luke 6:46. He says, "Why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say?" Now, had they heard many people preach and say, and Jesus himself say, that you're supposed to confess that Jesus is Lord? And so when they confessed that he was Lord, his response to many people was, "Why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things which I say?" Do you see the hypocrisy of confessing that Jesus is Lord or saying that Jesus is Lord when the word Lord means the supreme authority and we say he's Lord, but we don't do the things he says? Do you see the hypocrisy of that? Oh, he's Lord, but then we go right on our merry way, not trying to do what our Lord says. He's our Lord. He's our Lord. Go with me to Matthew chapter 7 just a moment. Matthew chapter 7, the first scripture that I ever really began to see and know and understand in all the Word of God was Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. I want us to think about two things in closing. One is the importance and the responsibility and the blessing of calling Jesus Lord. "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am." It's good for you to confess to other people that you believe that Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. It's good for you to confess that and to declare that. But it's also important for us to understand that when we say that he is Lord, that the deeds of our lives need to conform to the words of our mouths. And that it's not enough just to say he's our Lord if we're not going to try to serve him every day of our lives. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21, Jesus makes this statement. He says, "Now, do you think all the people have begun to understand it's important that they call him Lord? Do you think they've begun to understand that?" They have. And so they were all going around, many people were going around calling him Lord. And so Jesus now says in Matthew 7, look in your Bibles at Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, why were they going around saying, "Lord, Lord"? Because they had learned from Jesus and Paul and all the disciples that we're to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And they're to go around saying, "Lord, Lord." And Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Do you see that the way that you really confess that Jesus is your Lord is if you're doing the things that Jesus says to do. Now look at the next two verses, Matthew 7, 22. "Many will say to me in that day," and that's the day that Jesus Christ came and began to establish his kingdom and to judge his people according to their works. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord." Why are they going to say to him in that day? Listen, brethren, if Jesus comes back today to judge the United States of America, did you know that there will be a multitude of people in the United States that will call him Lord? There will be many people that will call on the name of the Lord. That when the judgment comes and God begins to carry out his wrath on our nation, that you will find across this land, you will find people all over America falling on their faces and saying, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that and the other?" And these people, Jesus says, "Many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Now, brethren, I believe these were children of God. You study, go home and study this carefully, and I think that you'll come to that conclusion. "Have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils?" Now, brethren, Jesus set forth this principle that the only one who can cast out devils is somebody that is of God. That's the reason that when he was casting out devils, and they called him Beelzebub, he said, "Beelzebub cannot and will not cast out devils, because a house divided against itself cannot stand." And these are disciples of Christ who had followed Christ in many ways. And now they're saying, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out many devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? Jesus says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What does Jesus mean when He says, I never knew you? He never knew them as a real disciple of Jesus Christ. They were never true friends of Jesus. He never knew them. That word know means to have intimate fellowship. And He never knew them, even though they had called Him Lord, and even though they had cast out devils and done many wonderful works. He still did not know them as a faithful disciple of Christ, and He will say to them, Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Jesus taught the same truth in the parable of the 10 virgins when He said that there would be 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins, and the 5 foolish virgins would come to Christ in that day when He came to take account of their stewardship. Those 5 foolish virgins would say, Lord, Lord, open to us. Again, my question that I want you to remember is, why do we want to call Him Lord? Why do we want to confess and profess that He's the Lord, our Lord, if we're not going to do the things that He says? I believe there is a more severe judgment. I believe the Word of God declares that there is a more severe judgment to the people of God who know that Jesus is Lord, but they do not live like Jesus is the Lord of their life. There's more severe judgment on them than there are those that have never really known Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. So Jesus says here in John 13:13, Jesus says, ye call to His disciples, that He's about to wash their feet. He says, ye call me master, teacher, instructor. Ye call me master. You say, well, for so I am. He's the master teacher. And you call me Lord. And you say, well, because I am the supreme authority. And you say, well, for so I am. And then He says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. May God help us to confess that Jesus is Lord. May God help us to live to show that we truly believe that He is our Lord every day of our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.